Toastmasters, would-be Toastmasters, listeners and friends, you are very welcome to the Talk Show for Talkers here on irishtalkers.com. You can get in touch with us by sending us an email to info@irishtalkers.com, and we love to hear from you. You can find us on the web as www.irishtalkers.com, where you can find access to pretty well every episode we have ever recorded. This week is our interview week. I should perhaps have introduced myself. I'm Maury O'Brien, and I'm joined today by the inimicable. There you are. I've found a new word. I know it doesn't rhyme, but what the heck. Mr. James Finnegan. James, you're very welcome.
Thank you very much, Moira.
Because this is our interview week, I'm going to hand over to James, who is going to introduce this week's interviewee. Over to you, James.
Thank you, Moira. I am absolutely delighted to introduce a lady, a Toastmaster, who is normally at the back handing out awards. As chair of the Award and Recognition Committee, co-chair, I should say, within District 71, Olga Byrne has been fastidious in recognizing clubs and individuals' records, anniversaries, and we're learning so much more about the district thanks to her work. Olga, you're very welcome to the Talk Show for Talkers. Tell us a little bit about your work with the Award and Recognition Committee.
Well, James, thank you for the lovely introduction. Yes, I work on awards and recognition. So it's kind of twofold. One, we're looking for anniversary and membership milestones. So I'm delving in, finding people who have been members of Toastmasters for many, many years. I just came across somebody the other night who is in Toastmasters, wait for it, 59 years. So I'm anxiously emailing him to find out his story. We also celebrate people who've achieved, you know, with our educational pathways, who is achieving distinguished Toastmaster, who's achieving Triple Crowns and various different awards. And we try to invent ones. We have the Extra Mile Award, we have the Milestone Award. So we do a quarterly sort of awards night, like the Oscars, and we have a whole slew of presenters on board, and we present all these awards out to all our wonderful Toastmasters. So it's lovely because people work hard. I mean, a Triple Crown, I wasn't familiar with the term maybe a couple of years ago, you know, when I was newish to Toastmasters, and I realized what an accomplishment it is. So it's time to recognize those people. And what I'm totally shocked at is how many do Triple Crown awards. I've been a Toastmaster for 5 years. I'm just about to complete my first pathway. And I'm looking at these people who are completing multiple pathways. So yes, it's an incredible achievement. So we're recognizing that at the district level.
Well, Ted Cochran is always very big on recognising achievement, and that in turn encourages people who perhaps are a little bit reluctant to get involved. Tell me, do you find people very reluctant to claim credit for what they're doing? Are we very shy and retiring?
Well, I think it's kind of an Irish thing as well, very humble. So you've got an award, I know that was grand, it was very easy, I just did that. It's like someone compliments you in Ireland, you put up, it was nothing. So I think people are reluctant, but I think when they get to the stage of the DTM, which is the highest award, the District Toastmaster, I think they put on so much work that they're ready for that accolade to be acknowledged and to be received. And I think it's important that people do get recognised. We're not what we do. We've introduced the, you know, even just to completing a level 5, which is a huge thing to me, but a lot of Toastmasters seem to find that easy. But even just recognising that they've completed a pathway, you know, and hopefully they will be more gung-ho about going, yes, I've done it. I think a lot of people are shy and then go on to the next thing without actually parking it and saying, do you know, that was a big achievement. You know, if you look back at all the projects you've had to do, and I had a lot of struggle with projects at the level 4 because it was quite an investment in time and challenging yourself outside your comfort zone. So I think it's important for them to realise this is pretty cool. Even though you might see there's loads of people achieving these Triple Crowns, even just to get, you know, the level 5 in the first pathway is pretty incredible.
I totally agree. Tell me, what first brought you to Toastmasters?
Interesting question. Well, when I, only a few years ago, I used to listen to all these wonderful speeches, for example, TED Talks, Barack Obama making his presidential speech. And I was totally naive. I thought they just got up there and spoke. And I used to say to my husband, imagine being able to do that. I'd love that experience of owning a room. Like you see Bono and U2 and they're like these incredible musicians. I said, I can't sing, can't really play an instrument. I can talk, but I couldn't do what those guys are doing. But I was pointed out to me, no, oh, kind of, they have a script. They practice this. And I'm absolutely genuine when I didn't realize. So then I thought, oh my gosh. And then a friend of mine, she was trying it. I'm going up to try out our local Toastmasters. Why don't you come along? And I did. And I was like, oh my God, TED Talks, here we come. So yes, that was my reason for joining. And that's how I discovered Toastmasters.
And have you done your TED Talk?
No, not yet. But rather than it being this thing I can never do it, I'm actually thinking about how I can marry my day job and all I've learned in Toastmasters and produce this cool TED Talk.
It'll be great. I can't wait to hear it. Hopefully you'll do it at TEDx to me.
Hey, maybe.
What do you do outside Toastmasters, Olga? You said they're trying to marry the connections between the two.
Well, outside, I'm very lucky. I do something I'm very passionate about. I'm a nutritionist, so I tell people what to eat. My family hate it, but the people who come to me are quite excited about what I have to share with them. So my speciality, I work as a consultant. We go into workplace nutrition. So, for example, we come into various corporate firms. We'd roll out different types of programs, a lot of one-to-one advice with, you know, employees. We worked a lot with sort of high-tech industries and very, you know, stressed people, and they just need to get their eating right. And it's great. We fall under a well-being hub. So usually aligned with us, we'd have people doing mindfulness. We'd have people doing physical exercise. So it all works really, really well. So that's my bit, is the nutrition. I absolutely love it. I love all the unfolding science now. Instead of having to wait years for the research to hit the table, on LinkedIn, and particularly LinkedIn, you will find new research coming out. You'll have people giving analysis of it. So it's really good. And you can bring a lot of really current stuff to the presentations I do at work, you know, all the new science. And I think it's to get people interested rather than just dictating, this is what you need to do, to go, you know, hey, let me tell you a little bit more about caffeine, what it's actually doing, and give them a little bit of science, but making it accessible. I always look at somebody like Giles Yeo, with the BBC, he does a lot on obesity, but he's a great communicator. And that's what I wanted to bring, the fun, energy, interest, but make it fun as opposed to just this, like, death by PowerPoint. So that's what I hope to do with my TED Talk, is do something with the nutrition, have a really strong message, make it fun, make it interesting, make it a bit scientific.
And obviously your Toastmaster experience is a great help to you in bringing this message out, particularly when you're speaking, I presume, in front of groups as well as one-to-ones.
Oh, gosh, James, absolutely. When I joined Toastmasters, I was appalling. I would just speak, no structure, no thought. I'd be going, oh, yeah, and I forgot a bit about this. My 5 to 7 minute speeches usually took 10 to 15 minutes. It was just crazy. I still speak very quickly, but I used to speak like on speed. So, yes, it's been hugely beneficial, a huge learning curve. But, yes, I actually feel, because of Toastmasters, confident in trying to achieve this TED Talk. It's not just a pie in the sky. It's actually a thing I'm going to set as a goal. Haven't set it yet, but then I will take those steps towards it. And I think it will happen, as opposed to it might happen, it will happen.
Well, I think that's a very good attitude of mind. It will happen, not it might happen, or perhaps it'll happen. It will happen. And I can't wait to hear it. What do you see as the biggest challenge facing Toastmasters?
The challenge facing Toastmasters, I think it's membership. And there's one thing in that strikes me. I think a lot has to do with the name. Like when I first, friend of mine came up to me and she was talking about Toastmasters. I said, hang on a minute. I said, I don't do wedding speeches. I don't like weddings. I loathe them. I'm not going. She said, no, it's more than that. And I think that term, I think it's an old term. It needs to be updated, whether it's just, we're Fingal. My club is Fingal Toastmasters. I'd love to see it called Fingal Speakers. I think it's accessible to more audiences. Like even the word master, I mean, I looked it up in the dictionary one stage. It says, a man who has people working for him, slaves and servants. I think the term, and I think that's the challenge. I think maybe if we just turn out the branding police, if they're listening, will be very upset because they spend so much time working on this. But I think just the name just maybe needs to be updated. And I think membership is the big thing. And I think that younger cohort, once they're in the door, they love it. But it's kind of, it's just that I think the name just maybe needs a little bit, you know, a rethink. You know, that was the 1920s when, you know, our founder, Mr. Smedley, came up with it. And it was very current then. I think things just need to change. I know there's so much invested in the name and it would be fairly recognizable in a lot of circles. But I think life is changing so quickly. Things become updated. And I think it's just time to maybe just look at the name and see if we need to perhaps tweak it slightly.
They're very fair points. And you're not the first one to have said that, because I must admit, the first meeting I went to, I was expecting to toast the Queen. And, you know, it's nothing could be further from the truth, especially down here in Tralee. Have you come across any branch that's really the best example of promoting itself and getting out into the community and promoting its successes?
But yeah, I've seen different clubs doing different things. Like our club, Fingal, it works. We're an in-person club based up in North Dublin, and it works really well. You know, it's word of mouth. It works really well. We have families, we have mothers and daughters, we have fathers and daughters, we have sisters. I think that works a lot, is that word of mouth. When it comes to the online, it's sometimes a little bit more difficult, but I've seen certain clubs doing an amazing job. I think it's Shilling Speakers, City of London Toastmasters. They put out these pieces on social media, which are very intriguing. I think a backwards meeting, something that strikes, especially for other Toastmasters watching, going, well, that sounds a little bit different. So I've seen lots of different ways of doing it. I know Toastmasters are really good at promoting itself. You know, they have their Facebooks, their LinkedIn. And, you know, that branding, of course, does work because it's creating the perfect image. But yeah, there's lots of different ways of doing it. But it's just such an amazing, I think it's the social side, which is so important. At all, many of the meetings I've been at, people have been asked that question, what brings you back? And they'll all say, oh, yeah, learning this and stepping out of my comfort zone. But the majority, everybody's saying, it's the social side, it's the friendships, it's the networking. Even in a professional capacity, you're making links all over the place. And it really, it is life-changing, but professionally and personally. So, yeah, that's my answer.
I totally agree, because although we had met some years ago online, it wasn't until conference last year in Liverpool that we actually physically met. And I think now that we've come out of the COVID situation, touch wood, that I think that personal major selling point.
Yeah. No, I think you're right. I think definitely the person-to-person, online's great. Like a lot of my work, it's 50% online, 50% in person. But when you have that in person, that chemistry is there. And that's what I feel in my in-person club. We have that chemistry. And I feel, okay, they're not my best friends. We don't hang out together. But certainly, when I walk in that room, I feel I'm with my tribe, which is sort of more difficult to get online. But, you know, online, there's so much work being done that way. As I said, I do presentations online. I belong to an online club in District 91. And you know, it's brilliant. You can use that for learning to speak online, because it's different. You still want to get that message across. You still want to use, you know, if you use that eye contact, your body language differently, even the way you speak, it's really important. And that little club, Sussex Online Speakers, they're great, and they're from all over the world. So you're learning different skills, and we're lucky because we have this tech whiz who's in there as well, much like our Moira O'Brien. And we have little sessions where he challenges us to do something a little bit different. So both worlds are important, but for Toastmasters, that in person is that extra bit special.
Well, I'm delighted you praise Moira there, because as far as I'm concerned, this all happens thanks to the pixies that live in the wall.
Indeed.
Tell me, is it that keeps you coming back?
There's a couple of things which make me keep coming back. Yes, the social side. Yes, my tribe. But I love the challenges. I adore the challenges. For example, I tried to follow in the footsteps of Moira. I did, for one of my projects, the podcasting. Now, I learned so much. But it was done. It was quite bad at the end, but I did it. I learned about how to edit it. I learned how to kind of facilitate the meeting with a couple of people we interviewed. I love the challenge of that. And I love to be able to say, I kind of know what to do. I mightn't be doing it well, but I've learned. I love like the challenges of stepping up to do. I worked with the contest team last year, and I remember starting off on that going, oh my gosh, I'm way out of my comfort zone. You know, I think it was Liz was the chair, and she's like, oh yeah, we need a training session. And I was dying inside. I'm going, this is going to the district. I can't do this. But I just said, line under, I'm going to do this. That's how Nigel and myself kind of got in contact, because we were both the contest chairs that year. And it was just that challenge of doing it. And when you did it, you went, that was fine. Bring on the next challenge. And I do love mentioning, it's the fun opportunities as well. For example, the contests, I feel I like the Eurovision of Toastmasters, and then like the awards evening, we're trying to make it sort of like the Oscars. So it's bringing that fun element in that I really enjoy, and just, you know, having that, you know, that networking is great. You know, as I mentioned, you know, Nigel's brilliant. I work with him. He's the co-chair of the awards. who worked with me last year. He's great for that interactive piece on virtual meetings. And, you know, I'm learning with him because he uses a lot with his work. So I'm using it, trying to use it in my work as well. So, you know, it's fantastic. And as to the challenges, social connection, challenges, networking, fun opportunities. Yes, love it all.
Well, you're a wonderful salesperson, Olga. Tell us a bit about how you and I split up the job between you.
Sorry, can you repeat the question? The line went a bit hazy.
Excuse me. Could you tell us how yourself and Nigel split up the role between you?
Okay, so I love admin. So I will do all the reaching out to the presenters like we did on the night of the award. So I'm a bit micromanager now. I'm sure half of them hate me because I'm going, you need to pass it to this person. You need to pass it to that. You need to arrive at this time. Yeah, it's ridiculous. I'm a school teacher. So Nigel will be sort of more the creative side. So he puts all those slides together. He's the person who runs it all on the evening. So that's pretty much our role. I do all the background, kind of annoying people. And then he does this beautiful presentation. So I'm hoping that I can learn and maybe be able to do that beautiful, seamless, slick presentation eventually.
Oh, you never annoy anyone, Olga. I mean, you're giving them good news.
Yes, but I'm getting these emails. Are you all set for this evening? This is what we're going to be doing. Here's the link to this. Have a look at this before you come. This is what you need to say. Keep it short and sweet. This is who you need to pass it on to. I'm sure if they looked at the slides, they could work that out themselves. But I'm all into, you know, we want to make it really slick and cool. And so, yeah, I imagine some people love it. Some people find it annoying.
No, it's wonderful. And you're a great team because the strengths of one dovetail nicely with the, I'm not going to say weaknesses, but the limitations of the other and vice versa.
Yeah, it works really well because I'm very excitable, as you've probably seen, and Nigel's very calm. So it's great. It's sort of like we meet in the middle then and it the night takes off quite nicely. So yes, it's a nice compliment.
Tell me, Olga, what's been your biggest achievement in Toastmasters that you've seen?
My biggest achievement that I think is the understanding of two things. One is mindset that, you know, I think in life it's 20% skill set, 80% mindset. And I think I've learned that in Toastmasters. And my next point, which kind of follows on from that, I had this fear of failure. I always thought there's no way back. I remember I had a friend of mine, I worked in hotel management in the States, and people get fired over there, the slightest thing. But this man that I worked with, very good at his job, brilliant, but himself and the owner didn't get on. And eventually the owner fired him. And I used to think, how can you come back from that? You know, it was just, I thought it was awful. But he went on, had a wonderful career. And I always thought failure, I'd run away. If I failed, I would like, oh no, line under, move on, do something else. And I think in Toastmasters, you learn that no, failing is how you're growing. So as I said, when I first came, I made horrendous speeches. I learned, you know, from the feedback, which was very nice, but you've got the message in there, that I needed to improve. And I use that feedback to improve. And that's, I think, how people are successful. And then you hear about all these wonderful people who've achieved huge amounts of things, is that they failed and failed and failed again. Like Thomas Edison with the light bulb, I think it was 100, possibly more times before he got the right one. It's having that belief in yourself and that mindset. You know, you go in and it's like that imposter syndrome. So you go, oh, I can't do that. And then when you do it, you realize, no, I can. And then you go and listen to other people and you think, oh, gosh, I could do something maybe not, you know, a little bit better in a different way. And it's just understanding. It's that mindset of saying, yes, I can. Yes, I will. And just taking everything. Everything is a challenge. That, you know, it doesn't matter how hard it is. Just put yourself out there. You know, if you fail it, it doesn't matter because you can come back. You can learn from that, regroup and move on.
Olga, what a fantastically positive comment and statement to end this wonderful interview. Thank you for all your work. Thank you for all your hard work behind the scenes, but also front and centre, where we see all the successes out of District 71. You're wonderful, and I look forward to meeting you in person again soon at Portlaoise.
I'll be there with my laptop, probably signing you up to do something. But no, thank you, James, and thank you, Maura. It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you, Olga, and thank you, James, for that interesting interview. Well done, everyone. That's it for this week. We'll see you again next week when we'll be back with our magazine show. See you then. Bye from me, Maura O'Brien. Bye from James, and bye from Olga.